Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
I'm Channing Strother, counsel for Wisconsin Public Service Commission. We've asked the deputy clerk to allocate 5 minutes to me and 4 minutes to Ms. Lair from American Transmission Company, reserving 1 minute for rebuttal. Petitioners and supporting interveners joined each other's briefs, but made closely related challenges to FERC. Today, I focus on the Wisconsin Commission's brief. The Wisconsin State Regulatory Commission is not often before this court, nor does it often challenge the FERC. But the Commission felt compelled in this case, using limited state resources, to seek this court's remedy for a striking injustice to Wisconsin citizens' ratepayers. They are the ones who MISO, with FERC's approval, saddles with 100% of the cost of new high-voltage baseline reliability transmission that benefits the entire MISO system by relieving identified MISO reliability issues, while these same Wisconsin citizen ratepayers are also to be required to pay a share of the cost of the very same kind of transmission performing the very same function located elsewhere in MISO. More than half of the exclusion list at issue in this case is of Wisconsin projects. 20% of the cost of such projects spread MISO-wide over 15 states in the province of Manitoba is tiny dollars to the ratepayers outside of Wisconsin. But making Wisconsin ratepayers pay for all of the transmission, the high voltage beneficial reliability transmission built in Wisconsin, plus a share of other non-excluded project costs, very big dollars to Wisconsin ratepayers. We submit that FERC erred in approving the exclusion list and that they stated a hodgepodge of non sequitur and unsupported rationales that had very little to do with what the basis that MISO had asserted for the exclusion list. FERC hunts for differences between excluded and non-excluded projects to support the exclusion list, when what it should have done is dispassionately review whether the cost allocation should be any different or whether there are any distinctions among these projects for cost allocation purposes to begin with. FERC's hunt for differences is unsuccessful, but its starting point was improper to begin with. FERC basically departs from its beneficiary pays cost-sharing principles. And those are the very same principles that FERC ordered as the foundation for this MISO filing, and it's the basis for the 20% system-wide cost allocation. FERC said that that MISO should change its rates to reflect cost causation and benefits to those. And it should assign costs to those that benefit from the cost and the cause of cost. So FERC ends up providing a free ride to the rest of MISO at the cost of Wisconsin ratepayers. The MISO had said this was a compromise, but it wasn't a compromise. It was really a cram down by the majority. When A and B agree that C shall pay, C feels compromised, but it's not a compromise.
What they agreed was that projects that had reached a certain stage by a certain time would be paid for by the utility that had reach that stage with them. They didn't agree that a particular party was going to be saddled. They agreed at a certain condition.
Well, that's somewhat the way it's described, Your Honor, but if you look at MISO's October 7th, 2005 application, what they say is that parties objected to paying for construction in certain states, certain projects, and they were clearly talking about Wisconsin. So they set up the rule that the planning would eliminate more than, you know, the exclusion list was more than half of Wisconsin projects, and that wasn't happenstance. That's what it was targeted at. Well, so to say,
I don't know that we can attribute a motive in making our decision.
I don't think you can attribute a motive, but you can any more than what MISO said, and what MISO said the basis.
MISO didn't say we're going to get Wisconsin. They said projects that had reached a certain stage by a certain date are not within the communal billing. Is that not correct?
Yes, Your Honor, but the reason they said that they had chosen that method, unlike the methods that have been chosen in other RTO or ISO cases by FERC, was because parties had objected. First of all, they said it was a compromise. They didn't much explain that. FERC said you still have to reach the FPA standards. So what MISO, but my, when MISO said is certain people object to paying these other costs, and so we're going to have this arrangement. We're going to base it on what we think is planned, and then it explained very, very well there.
There's no upsetting of expectations in this case, right?
Oh, I think completely, Your Honor. When Wisconsin built this construction of the Arrowhead Weston project, for instance, was not even commenced until mid-2005. When Wisconsin was putting
it was planned back in the 90s, approved in 2001, right?
And then,
at that time, there was no indication of cost sharing of this nature.
The RTOs were not off the ground in those days.
Well, I think the MISO went into effect in 2001. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin had required all of its transmission be turned over to an independent transmission company. I think their orders around the same time that it was always expected that there would be consideration of system-wide cost sharing for projects that benefited the system back then. Now, there was not a statement that there would be a particular cost sharing, but I think the problem is here that no one said, Wisconsin, if you go forward with this, you won't get a cost share, and you'll have to pay for all of your cost. But you'll have to be paying for some of the cost of the rest of the states, too. Nobody said that you would be discriminated against because you went forward. In fact, this transmission was encouraged. So I think that system-wide costs were always on the table. A specific level had not been determined.
On the table is different from upsetting an actual concrete expectation that was settled when the project was planned.
Well, Your Honor, I mean, speaking, I see my time is up. I assume it's all right to keep talking.
Go ahead. As long as we're interchanging with you, the late Spotswood Robinson used to say that the lights control the bar. Only God controls the bench.
Thank you, Judge Sintel. I really think that that the expectation was, and that here we're telling you this is a Wisconsin Public Service Commission, too. We can't say what the rate's going to be. You know, we're at the mercy of FERC to apply the standards of the Federal Power Act, including not undue discrimination, and we're at the mercy of this court, of course, and we request this court to enforce those standards. We had an expectation that we would be treated in a non-discriminatory manner. I don't think there's anything in the record that indicates that we, as a state, and the commission feels very strongly about this, we did not say, hey, we'll just take these costs the way they are, we'll absorb these, we don't care whether we have to pay other states' costs or not. We expected a fair rate hearing, and that was the proceeding below. That was not something different. There was no established rate. Yeah, this is brand new. This is new transmission. It came online long after even the filing here. That it?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Kira Lair. I represent the petitioner American Transmission Company, and I'm focusing on ATC's briefs here in this argument. As Mr. Strother noted, the PSCW and interveners supporting petitioners joined each other's briefs. The problem here is this particular excluded projects list. The problem is not that MISO said projects at a certain stage were going to be eligible for cost sharing and that other projects were not going to be eligible for cost sharing. MISO put forward this list with the label, this is the list of planned projects to be excluded. MISO didn't talk about anything other than the fact that it was picking projects off of MTEPO 5 Appendix A that had the label planned on them. But the problem was that's not what the list was actually made of. So FERC had to try to come up with some post hoc rationalizations for how this list came to be and why it should be approved. And to do that, they jump all over the board and can't settle on anything that actually matches to this list.
Did any of yours go from proposed to planned?
There are certain projects on the list that are labeled proposed that were ATC projects.
Right, and did they change anything from proposed to planned? Didn't you have an opportunity, and all I'm asking is, that I don't think that affected you. But you had an opportunity if something, not proposed a plan, but this advanced planning criterion that was used to call something planned that was not exactly planned as of the date.
I understand what you're saying. MISO provided the opportunity to say for an individual transmission owner to change a label from plan to proposed, to argue for to that it, the label should be changed from plan to proposed. There was no opportunity for anyone to argue that a label should be changed from proposed to planned. And the problem with the changing a subjective label that each transmission owner put on at the beginning from planned to proposed is that there was no basis for it to begin with that could be distinguished. If the individual transmission owner is the one making the call to begin with, they can't. There's no basis for them to say, I was wrong when I made the call to begin with. It should actually have been proposed. And no one ever actually...
You're right. I misspoke. What I'm asking you is the part of the planned projects that were based on the advanced planning criterion, did ATC have any of those? Or were all of yours labeled planned without any reference to advanced planning?
There was no reference to advanced planning on the list. The list consisted of ones labeled planned and 36 labeled proposed. And ATC did have some of those. Some of ATC's projects were among the 36 that were labeled proposed. And that's part of the problem with this list, is there's so much similarity between the projects that are on the list and the projects that are not on the list, given the information that's in this record, that it's impossible to discern the difference. In fact,
best example of that?
Our best example of that, as we noted in our briefs, is the Illinois Power Lines and the ITC projects, where the information in Appendix A was literally nearly identical. The length of the line, the expected in-service date, the voltage level, exactly the same. It was the same for METC projects, the four we noted in our brief, and ATC's projects. In addition, projects with expected in-service date of 2007, it's nearly half for half for what's on the list and what's not. There's 119 projects with expected in-service dates of that time, 67 on the list, 52 not, with no criteria available to distinguish between them. I see my time is almost up, and I'd just like to note that, as we noted in our briefs, the way to tell how this list is arbitrary and capricious is to try to recreate it using the information that's in this record and using the criteria that FERC put forward. We submit that it's not possible to recreate this list.
Thank you, counsel. Hear from the respondent.
May it please the court, my name is Judith Albert and I represent FERC. There are undoubtedly more than one or two ways to reasonably decide when to initiate a new cost-sharing regime. Here, the Midwest ISO proposed to initiate regional cost-sharing on an entirely going-forward basis. In other words, the Midwest ISO had a new cost-sharing regime and it proposed to apply that regime only to really completely new projects. Projects that were already underway would be continue to be funded as they always had been.
What about this idea that there was no good distinction that was drawn between in trying to determine whether something was already underway? There are similarly situated projects that were treated differently.
It's very clear that the distinction between planned and proposed. That's stated at JA-208. The Midwest ISO defines planned as those projects which are already underway in the sense that internal corporate and external regulatory approvals are already being sought. Proposed projects are those projects that have been considered at this point in time, or at the point in time in 2005, to be the best alternative to a perceived problem. But the problem is still being considered, and at some future time, the proposed project will be either moved to the planned category or it will be replaced by another alternative. So the idea that there's no clear distinction between planned and proposed is not true.
I think it's the idea that there's no distinction between those that ended up on the list and those that didn't.
Yeah.
Now,
and when you answer that, please specifically address the examples given by the second petitioner's counsel.
the Illinois example?
The Midwest ISO's transmission expansion plan of 2005, of course, reflected 2005 considerations. When the task force and the advisory committee and then the Midwest Board of Directors considered which projects were beyond the simply perceived to be maybe the best possible solution someday category, obviously things had gone beyond where they were in 2005. The Midwest ISO then looked at the projects on the proposed list and determined which projects had in fact advanced to the state where they could be considered to be beyond just a perceived category. Now, the parties, the utilities, throughout this whole process had the opportunity to go before first the task force, secondly the advisory committee, third the Midwest ISO Board of Directors, and say, hey, wait a minute, our proposed project really is still just maybe the best solution to the problem. You should take it off the excluded projects list. And of course, they also had an opportunity to come to the commission and say, hey, look, you should take these projects off the list because nothing's happened, there's been no forward progress, they don't belong on the excluded projects list. This didn't happen. Therefore, the commission was reasonable in taking the Midwest Independent System Operators' conclusion that these projects were, in fact, projects that should be added to the list. I would also point out that the big problem that the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has is the Arrowhead Western project. There is no doubt that that project belongs on a list of projects that were already underway. The ground was already dug by the time all of these events were taking place. The project was planned back in the last century. The project was planned before there was even a Midwest ISO. There's no reason to say that this project is some sort of future transmission that everybody in the Midwest ISO should pay for. I would also like to point out in terms of discrimination that what we have here is a whole range of projects. Reliability just isn't coming into existence because projects are being constructed now. There are 93,000 miles of transmission line in the Midwest ISO. Somebody built those. They were built under the old system. Those entities paid for it. Some of those entities are still paying for it. Some of those entities, as the record demonstrates.
I think we all understand that those projects that are already online are not going to be rebudgeted. I think we also understand that those projects that start from go after the ISO is in existence are going to be budgeted among the entities involved. We're in a process of line drawing here.
That's absolutely right.
I thought I had asked you, and I thought the implication of Judge Kavanaugh's question was, to distinguish for us between the projects that were cited as examples by ATC, and you've talked for several minutes since the question was put, and I haven't heard any mention of the Illinois project and the comparative.
Evidence pertaining to the particular characteristics of those projects were not argued by these parties before the commission. The commission never had any reason to consider the particular attributes of those.
So your answer to that particular issue is that jurisdictional, that it's not before us. Is that your, do I understand you correctly?
That's part of it, but the other
part. What's the other part?
The other part of it is that the appropriate time, even aside from jurisdiction, the appropriate time to make an argument that there is some misunderstanding about why some proposed projects should also be on this list was way back at the beginning when the regional task force was still meeting. All utilities, all stakeholders had the opportunity to participate in these task forces. If there are some characteristics of Americans' proposed projects that made them not reasonably placed upon an excluded projects list, that was the time for them to say it.
So you would say it's not been preserved in the record?
That's correct.
Jurisdictionally or?
As a practical matter.
Okay.
I think my supposition would be that it's simply a red herring.
Well, it's not a red herring if it had been preserved. It is a very relevant argument if it's properly preserved, and it's one that you would have to respond to. Now, you may be correct that it's not preserved, but if you have two indistinguishable projects and one is being built in one fashion and one's being built in another fashion, then that's the kind of discrimination your commission can't engage in.
And
it's not a red herring.
And on that point, I'd also like to point out that in terms of looking at any of these lists and looking at proposed in-service date, the proposed in-service date is not a reflection of the state of the project. A project like the Arrowhead Line, which has a long, long lead time because it's a very big project, its date could be way in the future. Another project, and there still could be holes in the ground with the date way in the future. Other projects are relatively small. It could have a in-service date of next year and still be just on the thinking about a stage because it's a relatively small project. So in terms of comparing these projects and looking at these lists and just looking at the proposed in-service date, that doesn't tell you very much about the state of the project.
That goes to the reasonableness of picking already planned as the line in this line drawing exercise. That doesn't really answer the secondary question, which is very important, of the apparent or alleged randomness of categorizing particular projects as already planned or not already planned. You understand the question?
I understand, but to the extent that the argument is that there is a randomness in these lists based upon service date does not demonstrate randomness, because service date does not indicate whether a project is far along or not far along, because it depends on the size of the project and many other things. Again, I would like to emphasize that there's nothing inherently unfair about this plan. Many utilities who did their construction earlier will not receive any cost sharing at all because their systems are completely mature. They will be paying for their systems, and they will also be paying part of the share of the hundreds of millions of dollars of American transmission projects that are on the list to receive cost sharing. And I would also point out there are other utilities besides American that have lists that have projects that will not receive cost sharing as well. Line drawing is an imperfect thing, but paying for future projects with a future-oriented cost-sharing plan is reasonable, and commission so found, and its order should be affirmed. May I answer any other questions?
Seeing none, your time, in fact, has expired, so we'll... I don't think either petitioner has time left. We'll give each petitioner back 2 minutes for rebuttal. You may proceed in the same order as before, or if you want to yield your time to each other, or whatever.
Was this order?
Go ahead. That'd be fine.
Thank you, Congress. Just wanted to address first FERC's contention that the petitioners did not raise below this issue regarding the projects of the same vintage were both on the list and on the list, and frankly, that's just not true. Beginning with the first protest and continuing through the rehearings, petitioners noted, to make matters worse, Wisconsin would also be required to pay for a share of other states' future projects, even though some are of the same vintage and level of development as the excluded ATC LLC projects. That's a JA-330.
Were any specific ones identified?
I'm not sure if any particular projects were identified at that time, but the contention that there were projects of the same vintage and level of development was made repeatedly below. Again, at JA-346, the fact that this was an arbitrary list of projects was raised at JA-430, and again at JA-508. The fact that
Without being presented with an allegation that there's a specific project that's similarly situated, it's a little tough for the commission to respond to that kind of general concern, right?
Not necessarily, Your Honor, because those specific projects I identified for you are literally nearly identical. But the
where in your brief do you discuss those identical projects? We'll give you a little more time if you need it here, because we are extending this discussion.
It is on page 6 of the initial brief, and it continues on to page 7. Those were just two specific examples of the similarities between the projects on the list. But as we noted, the range of similarities between them, the fact that the expected in-service dates ranged from May 2004 to June 2009 for projects that were on the list that were labeled as planned, and then from May 2004 to December 2009 for projects that were labeled as proposed. This is the type of similarity that exists throughout the list. The ones that we pointed out in our brief are the ones that are nearly identical. I believe my time.
And again, those ones that were in the brief were not pointed out specifically to the commission, correct?
Those particular projects were not pointed out specifically to the commission.
I guess your time is up unless my colleagues have further questions. Thank you, counsel. We'll hear from the other petitioner.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just briefly, commission counsel started out saying that there's more than one way to allocate cost and do it reasonably. I think that's true, but I think the problem here is the commission has not explained why this is not an unduly discriminatory way to allocate cost. You got the same kinds of transmission performing the same functions, and you got two different ways of allocating the cost that horribly injure Wisconsin ratepayers. All projects, we have to remember what we're looking at here. All projects are baseline reliability projects. All projects in the MTAP, whether they were planned or whether they were proposed, are solutions. I'm just quoting the language by memory from the MTAP itself. They're solutions to identified reliability issues on the MISO system. The proposed projects are not something that's addressed to some possible thing that'll come up in the future. They know they've got a reliability problem. Moreover, and FERC says that, well, these projects such as Arrowhead Western were going to go forward anyway, but FERC doesn't say and doesn't recognize, doesn't discuss, well, the proposed projects are probably going to go forward as well. And there's nothing that says that we need to have a system-wide cost allocation in order to assure that the proposed projects go forward. FERC doesn't say that. FERC, when it allocates a cost 2080, it's strictly a cost and benefits analysis. Its entire discussion is who causes a cost, who gets the benefits from it. It doesn't draw a distinction between the excluded and the non-excluded projects as far as system effects, who they benefit, or the effect of any particular cost allocation on those projects. As very quickly, as far as Arrowhead Weston, it's clearly a post-order 888 project. It was built at a time of electric restructuring. Wisconsin was in the forefront of electric restructuring. It's clearly, and it didn't come online until February this year. It's clearly new baseline reliability.
What had been done on it before Order 888 was before the TAPS decision on that?
Before Order 8, I think Order 888 was 1996. I don't think anything had been done on it. I suppose any of this transmission has been looked at over time. As we showed in the briefs, it was the restructuring that created the need for additional transmission in Wisconsin because of its geographic location. A lot of power flows through there. So I don't think there's any contention that Arrowhead Weston was proposed before Order 888, which was quite early. Anything further?
Thanks
so much.
None, then the case is submitted.
Yes,
recess.